Toastmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, for this Friday, September the 28th, 2012. Hope you are having a good day. Hope you've had a good week and are looking forward to a very nice weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing The Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We're streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. The show is also available anywhere, anytime, so you can check it out. We usually post the program by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to the TucsonCitizen.com site, TucsonSentinel.com, and of course, buckmastershow.com. And now we have a link to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Sohorita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, Executive Dean of the University of Arizona Colleges of Letters, Arts, and Science. He's also the Dean of the College of Science. He's a professor of geosciences. He's the immediate past president of the Geological Society of America. And in addition, as if he didn't have enough to do, Joaquin Ruiz is director of Biosphere 2. The University of Arizona assumed the ownership of Biosphere 2 in July of 2011, a generous gift from the Philecology Foundation. Did I get that correct, Joaquin? Is that
correct?
Close enough? Okay. Helps fund Biosphere 2 operations and some of the research projects. Joining me to question Dr. Ruiz, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here. Sarah is the editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. They have their annual showcase of homes coming up at Splendido on Tuesday, October the 30th, starting at 9 a.m. RSVP, and please say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090. More information at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah and Dr. Ruiz, good to see you. How are you today?
I'm okay, and thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Well, it's good to have you on the program. Good to see you again. Why don't we begin with Biosphere 2? Since the transition happened in July of 2011, how are things going with the project?
I think extraordinarily well in a variety of ways. We've created an institute at the Biosphere that's a think tank on water issues in semi-arid environments. That clearly is an issue that's going to affect great parts of the Earth. We also have the tourism, the informal education. We have now more than 100,000 visitors a year that come and visit the Biosphere. And hopefully we're trying to find ways that they not only visit the Biosphere but come to Tucson and visit other parts as part of economic development. But they certainly get their science at the Biosphere. And three, we will be in November commissioning the most important experiment that we created at the Biosphere called LEO, for Landscape Evolution Observatory. And LEO is all about what happens to water in semi-arid environments as vegetation changes because of global climate change.
So a lot happening up there, and it's hard to believe, but it's been 20 years since the first Biospherians were sealed in the Biosphere. Did any real research come out of – certainly it was publicity that went all over the world and it was high profile. Did any real research come out of that?
Well, of the time when the Biospherians were in there, the fundamental research was really that these folks, as hard as they tried, were never able to create a biosphere that controlled its atmosphere. So the question was, why was the oxygen in the biosphere so low? And also the CO2 was too low for all the calculations. And the key observations that were made was that the soil had sucked up all the oxygen, and the concrete, interestingly enough, had sucked up all the CO2. So plants weren't able to grow as quickly as they could. So there was a complete a poor atmosphere to do anything. And that caused, I think, part of the reason why these folks weren't able to live very happily in there.
That and the ordering pizza, yes, as I recall.
Yeah. I need a pizza at the Biosphere. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to ask a bit about how things are going at the University of Arizona, just from your position in the leadership there. I know attendance or enrollment is up, but still departments and schools and are facing budget, you know, mm-hmm. constraints. Mm-hmm. What's the general atmosphere over there as we begin, or I guess halfway through almost, this fall semester?
Well, I think it's a multi-layer question. I think we are all happy, in fact, that the quality of the students coming into the university is better than ever before. I think we're also quite happy that the numbers are greater than ever before because, of course, the budget of the institution depends on that. The concerns is that after so many budget cuts, so many years of budget cuts, we're sort of struggling with having the right ratio of faculty and lecturers and staff for the students that are coming in. It sort of reminds me of a company that's expanding, and you're trying to keep up with the accounts as this thing is exploding in size. I mean, I don't think that there's any other possibility but keep growing with quality. So I'm pleased that that is going on. But we at the university, and President Hart has just started a variety of planning exercises to really try to understand how to deal with not only all of this, but how we're going to deal with all of this in the future. What is the University of Arizona going to look like 10 years from now? So it's exciting times, but very challenging times.
How is that different than what President Shelton did? I mean, it seems like every university president or high-level person that comes in wants to go through a different process of planning and mm-hmm. planning and planning. What are the differences, and are they redundant?
In the years that I've been at the University of Arizona, I've been involved in a variety of strategic plans in which there is a central group of faculty, staff, and administrators that sort of tries to create a strategic plan. This is the first time that I honestly see at least a mechanism for the planning that includes trying to make a plan realistic with respect to budgets and trying to make a plan realistic with respect to expectations of the state and trying to make a plan that's realistic with respect to the infrastructure that we have. So if we, as an example, decide that we want to have a plan that's going to double our research or something, that has enormous consequences with respect to building, with respect to where you put your funds. If your plan is going to be to retain students better than we do now, that has consequences on the budget. And I think this is really the first time that I've seen where the budget and the infrastructure of the university and our goals and aspirations are actually at least being put in the same pot so we can think about them all together and come up with a really realistic plan.
Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is with us. He is the dean of the College of Science, and he's also the executive dean of the – it's the largest – your group that you oversee is probably the largest academic component on campus.
It's the size of NAU.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With respect to students and much bigger than that with respect to research.
You have said that research universities, public universities, are the canaries in the coal mine. And how is the canary looking right now? And according to a new report from the AP, research universities in danger across the country as states continue to really slash funds. In some cases, Dr. Ruiz, 30% or more in Colorado and Rhode Island seeing a drop. Excuse me, that's nearly 50% in those two states.
Yeah, well, you know, I've also written about how the problem that I see, the biggest challenge that I see in all of this is that I'm a firm believer that the institutions of higher learning are the equalizers in this country. They are truly the places where you can actually try to move into the middle class, where you try to equalize whatever inequities may have happened when you were born. And I think that if you look at when the land grant was first created, or if you think about the GI Bill, when many, many people were able to attend universities. Those two times were times when there was great improvement in our economy. As it becomes harder and harder for our young folks to come into the university, either because enrollment is capped because the universities can't afford it, or because tuition becomes so high that they either students cannot afford it or students come out of universities with incredible indebtedness, I think that's the greatest – that's one of the greatest challenges that I see for democracy, for a working democracy, where you need to have economic development, but you also need to have an educated population. So I'm quite concerned. I'm concerned that first students that coming to universities is becoming so challenging. I'm also concerned that the federal government is cutting research opportunities by cutting the budgets of NIH and NSF. So the business models which made universities in this country so successful and so good for the country has changed so dramatically that we just have to be aware and try to come up with a business model that isn't a disaster.
Did I hear you say their budgets of the – is it the National Science Foundation being cut? Well, that seems like kind of a stupid move when we're trying to get more and more kids interested in science and math.
Well, I agree. When I say it's being cut, I'm not quite sure actually what the total budget of NSF is. But the budget of NSF that's going to a variety of research opportunities is becoming more and more challenging. Just to give you a sense, and the same with NIH, the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation, almost anybody that writes a proposal to any of these entities has no more than about, on the average, of about a 5 to 10% chance of succeeding these days. The competition is so fierce for the few dollars that are available that that it does a couple of things. One of them is, of course, just the fact that there are a lot of people that can't get any research going. And two, as funds become less and less available, research sometimes becomes more and more boring because you start proposing research that is actually bulletproof for the people that are reviewing it. So the whole sort of ecosystem of universities and research is not in a very good spot at the moment.
Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is with us. Sarah Garrett-Gassen is here from The Star. This is Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Radio Show on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice. We continue after we hear from the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show. Please support them. They make this program possible.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun. It's all right here. Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:22, it's our Friday Focus interview, and today it's with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, the Executive Dean of the University of Arizona Colleges of Letters, Arts, and Science. He's also Dean of the College of Science, and he is also the Director of Biosphere 2. And I want to go back, Dr. Ruiz, also with us, and gladly to have you with us, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. I want to go back to the Biosphere 2. Teaming up with the other science-oriented attractions, I know that effort has begun. How is that going as far as what do you call it, eco-science tourism?
Yeah, we call it geotourism.
Geotourism, right. There you go.
And it's going extraordinarily well. So the idea behind all of that is that, in fact, we live in a part of the world that's extraordinary because of its not only natural beauty but because of its biodiversity. And that biodiversity is given to us because of our geography and our topography. But the bottom line is that we have assets that are natural assets that could bring in tourism, that could really give our community a sense of place. But in addition to that, we do have assets that are man-made, such as a biosphere, Mount Lemmon Science Center, the Desert Museum is an example of that, Kashna Caverns, which is organized by the park. So the idea is a creation of seamless programs in geotourism to attract people from Europe, which love this, but also people from the U.S. It's going extraordinarily well. Yesterday I had a meeting in the convention center. Pima County is all fired up with this. The city is all very interested in it. The Desert Museum, which in some ways represents the idea in one single entity, is all excited about it. And we hope that in a few years we do get known around the world as this sort of the Galapagos of the U.S. because of its biodiversity and what we can offer people that are interested in natural history.
And sometimes it's very hard to get local people to these attractions because – You ask many people in Arizona, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? And many will say, no, I've never been there. I just never gotten around to it. I mean, we have these wonderful attractions in our backyard, like Biosphere 2, but many of our local people need to get out and check it out.
Well, I agree. And I would argue that as they get more, for example, now in Flandreau at the university, we have a an exhibit on Sky Islands. And, of course, you know that Sky Islands are all these mountain ranges that are around us. And they call Sky Islands because it's almost like being an island and the ocean would be, in our case, would be the desert. Just to give you a sense of when I talk about biodiversity, if you go up the Catalina Mountains, there are about 4,000 species of flowers there. If you go east of the Mississippi, all of the east of the Mississippi, there are 5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a kind of biodiversity. Of course, the birders have known that forever, and they all show up in droves to look at birds in Madera Canyon and elsewhere. So what we're trying to do also, in addition to bringing tourism, is again show people in our community what a special place this is. And in fact, through time, we would love to be able to have a community that's so interested in our natural beauty that even the way that we create our backyards helps enhance what we're all about.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gass on the Star.
The U of A plays such a huge role in the Tucson community through lecture series and conferences and things like that. I mean, if there are scientists and different experts doing interactions with small groups and big groups, how does that kind of reach into the community affect the health of the university financially and in the eyes of the state legislators who are the ones who set the budget to some degree?
Well, okay. The reason the university does it, of course, is because we all feel very strongly that being paid by everybody's taxes, it is our responsibility to educate our community and to impact our community and to enhance the quality of life in our community. So the lecture series and all these things that you talked about is because we believe that it's part of our job. Now, of course, we would hope that a recognition that we're doing our job properly would allow the legislatures to then feel that they can increase our budget. I don't know if there's a one-to-one direct correlation of it. I don't know how much our legislatures really recognize what we do, but we must do it anyway because that's part of our mission.
Do you think that people, if they, I don't know, engage their legislators more, or is there anything that people who enjoy these programs and benefit from them can do to help spread the word to the legislature?
Well, I would hope so. I would hope that if they feel that the university is enhancing their life in any way, that they would let their representatives know that. That would be important, of course.
Your science lecture series, how many years have you done that?
8 years.
It's been very, very successful.
Right.
You've got another one, I assume. You're going to have a ninth edition, right?
Yeah.
What can you give us a preview? What's the theme going to be?
Sure. Before I answer specifically that question, just let me point out that the lecture series began precisely with the idea that it's a responsibility of the university to educate our community. The first lecture series was on evolution, and the reason that we started it was because I felt specifically that the at that time, there was a lot of discussion about intelligent design and evolution and the relationship between them and what should be taught in school or not. And I felt that I wasn't going to politicize the issue, but that I had to educate our community about what we know really about evolution. Well, it's been a big success. As you point out, about 2,000 people show up to each one of these lectures. And last year was about living beyond 100, which was very successful. And this coming year, starting in February, is going to be – we don't exactly know what the title is just yet because the title
– Working title.
The working title is on synthetic biology.
Hmm.
And the idea of synthetic biology is a very broad idea. It's a very broad umbrella, but it can go – all the way from the creation of bacteria, actually building bacteria that will can be used to soak up CO2 or to soak up some contaminant in water or whatever, but it's engineered to do something very specific. Or it can go to the other end, which is medicines that are personalized because of the way that your genome actually operates. So the whole idea of synthetic biology is pretty exciting.
Dr. Ruiz, thank you very much. We'll look forward to the lecture series. Very popular indeed, coming up in February. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to talk politics and other things next with Sarah Garrett-Gasson and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News, as we do our Reporters Roundtable here every Friday on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The White House says President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu remain in full agreement about keeping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Both the president and Mitt Romney were scheduled to talk with Netanyahu by phone today, a day after his speech at the United Nations. President Obama's revoking a Chinese company's purchase of 4 wind farm projects in the vicinity of a U.S. naval facility's restricted airspace. Mr. Obama's decision is likely to be another irritant in the increasingly tense economic relationship between the U.S. and China. The Massachusetts Attorney General says authorities have no idea why a lab chemist would have faked test results, except that she wanted to be seen as a good worker. Annie Dukin was arrested at her home today. She's charged with 2 felony counts of obstruction of justice and a misdemeanor lying about her resume. More details at SRNnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Sahuarita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35, and this is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring top local journalists who come into the Buckmaster Show to talk about the week's top stories. And, of course, this time of year, the week's top stories have to do with politics. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Dan Scheer joins us now, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And if you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by, how do you say it, Sarah?
I say it Splendido.
At Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. They are having a big open house coming up. It's the annual Showcase of Homes event, Tuesday, October 30th, starting at 9 in the morning, RSVP. Please say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Want to put a plug in for KVOI.com, where all of our debates on the Buckmaster Show are being nicely archived. They've got the Antonori-Bradley debate up already from yesterday. They have the Beth Ford-Elaine Richardson showdown face-to-face, which was the day before. We had a couple fiery debates here on the Buckmaster Show, and you can check them all out at KVOI.com. And, of course, we also have them on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. And I do want to mention that the Pima Council on Aging is doing a series of seven free candidate forums beginning Monday, October 1st. Through the 12th, legislative district candidates will answer three key questions on older adults and their caregivers. Monday's forum is the East Side LD10 State House and Senate candidates, 10 a.m. to noon at the Pima Council on Aging Community Adult Learning Center on East Broadway. It's in the 8400 block at Old Spanish Trail. All the details at pcoa.org. Okay, Sarah and Dan, now that I've taken care of some housekeeping business, Dan, speaking of debates, there was quite a fiery one that you were involved with a couple of days ago for the Congressional District number 3.
That's right. It was out in Rio Rico, so that would be Raul Grijalva, Gabriela Saucedo Mercer, and Blanca Guerra, who is the Libertarian. And we had a good turnout down in Rio Rico. This was, Wednesday night. And it really got heated on the last question. And I was telling Sarah off the air that her reporter did a good job of capturing really the essence of
that. Becky Powell, right?
Becky Powell did a good job on this. And the Nogales International also has a story up on their website on this, of course, too.
So what was the name calling and the yelling all about?
Really what it amounted to was commercial that Raul Grijalva has put out, quoting Gabriel Saucedo Mercer about Middle Easterners climbing over the border and they want to come up and kill Americans. And I asked him flat out, did you take her words out of context? And he said, no, I didn't. If you look at that tape, it's not spliced and diced. I would disagree with that to a point. But the fact is she did say something that she not was sorry for, because she really did own her words. And she said, look, I said it and I meant it. But I was talking about OTMs, which means other than Mexicans. And so she's talking about people who are climbing over the border. And there are people from lots of different nations. It's not just Mexicans and El Salvadorans and whatever. But she did try to explain herself, but she was rattled. She was upset. And I'm just going to make a judgment call here. She did not respond real well. I will say that. So because we asked her the question, allowed her to clarify, we went around and allowed others to pipe up. And Grijalva didn't say much after that. But Ms. Guerra did take Gabriela Salcedo Mercer to task for some of her other stances on immigration, and it got pretty nasty.
Well, at least they're having a debate, Sarah.
Well, that is a very good point. I have to say,
unlike some of the other CD races
and the senatorial candidates.
Yeah, that's right. The senator, the Flake Carmona race,
right? To which the Arizona Daily Star, working with the Tohono O'odham Desert Diamond Casino Gaming Enterprises, were invited both candidates to have a debate at the Desert Diamond Casino near Green Valley. And Richard Carmona, the Democrat, his folks said, sure, absolutely. But Congressman Jeff Flake, the Republican, declined the invitation. And we had them at the – they were both in the Arizona Daily Star's newsroom this week. And I wish they
would – Together?
Together. And it was fantastic. It was – they were both articulate, knew the issues. The voters are really, really losing out by not having the opportunity to see these two men hash things out. I mean, they have clear policy differences. They both have a wealth of experience in different areas, and I think it is just a shame when candidates will not go before the public in a live situation.
Yeah.
And whether that's on radio, I mean, like they come to your program, but it's cheating the voters.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I wish we had had Dr. Carmona and Mr. Congressman Flake here for a half an hour. But speaking of a half an hour, as far as on broadcasting, that's about all it's going to be. A Phoenix station is going to tape
right.
a half an hour, and then it might get replayed down here. But come on, for a U.S. Senate race,
This is really too bad, because we were at an appearance by Jeff Flake on Wednesday. They have both met with me, and we've done columns on there. They are both well-spoken. They have great ideas. Jeff Flake did a terrific job when he was in Sahuarita on Wednesday. And why he won't debate is unfortunate. We had a strange thing happen, though, and I wasn't going to really make a big deal out of it, but it really bothered me, and that is that Jeff Flake's appearance on Wednesday was at the Republican Club of Quail Creek, and someone from the club contacted me and said, hey, can you put something in the paper to tell people? I said, sure. An hour later, I get a call from Flake's campaign saying, please don't do that. The upshot of that is that they wanted Republicans there. They didn't want other people there, and we had a very testy it was not on the record, our conversation. It was very testy as to why they wanted certain people there. And we said, look, if you're not going to invite everybody, we're not going either. And so in the end, they changed their mind on it. But there is a fear out there, and I'll tell you just a little bit of what they told me. They have a fear of what happened to Romney, and that is what they call these trackers, these people who go into these things who are against the person who's speaking, and they have video cameras and audio, and they make them look bad. And I said, look, we're in the digital age. Everybody has to get to comfortable with this type of stuff. It's going to happen.
It's part of politics right now.
Absolutely. So we did not like the fact that they did not want anybody there except Republicans. We called them on it. They did change their mind. They did the right thing, and it ended up being a very good, worthwhile meeting. So.
And I have to agree. I don't think anyone – I think the public should pay attention to who will and will not speak in public in a dynamic, whether it's a forum or an editorial board, because when you come to an editorial board with a newspaper or on the radio or even on the TV forum, you're speaking not just to each other and to the people in the room. You're expressing yourself to the people that you want to vote for you. And I think it's just disgraceful that people won't accept that. Own your words. If you're so afraid you're going to say something stupid or that you think people aren't going to react well to, then measure your words and don't say it. I think it's the kind of thing that speaking before controlled audiences filled with people that you know support you is not how democracy is supposed to work.
And there's a very high degree of control these days. These candidates are really being controlled. And that surprises me with somebody like Jeff Flake.
Let's go to Lori now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Lori, you're with Dan Scheer and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill.
Hi, Lori.
The Sabino Teenage Republicans, very active group of teenagers, one of the hosts, Ron Barber and Martha McSally. I have yet to have, we've probably made a dozen phone calls, I'm not kidding, to the Ron Barber campaign, and he has not returned our calls. I gave him 30 days to choose from. Pick any day in that 30
wow.
days. And I've never gotten a response back. So, you know, again, CD2 is one of those areas, just like the Senate races, that we down here in Southern Arizona have not been represented for some time and really want to know what the stance is of a congressperson. Again, we also asked Clarence Dubnyk if he would be willing to debate. And, you know, these kids, I say teens, they've done a governor's forum. They've done CD8 special, a regular CD8. We have over 500 to 600 people in attendance.
Yeah, I know.
It's very
tough.
Professionally done. We have a professional moderators from, we wanted Luke Knight and Joe Higgins. So, again, a balance. It wasn't going to be a gotcha game, but okay. I'm a bit dismayed and disappointed.
Okay, Lori from the Republican Party with us. And by the way, Dubnyk, Sheriff Dubnyk has agreed to do one radio event, and that will be right here on the Buckmaster Show Wednesday, October the 17th, with Mark Napier. And we've also invited the Green Party candidate to come on as well for that one. Now, going back to this whole thing about debates, and then I want to move on to another story that's front page story about Green Valley. But about debates, Sarah and Dan, I've been doing debates in this town for going on 25 years, and it seems every year there is more of a reluctance to sit down face to face with one's opponent.
I would agree with that being the trend that I've noticed too. And it's the sort. I mean, I do believe that Martha McSally and Ron Barber are debating at the U of A. Sometime I don't remember the date exactly, which is a giant venue. It's clear that you can't accept every invitation. That's just not possible. But the tendency has been to speak to people that you know agree with you and to not engage in taking questions or sparring with the person that you're trying to either replace or fight for a job with. And I think it does not serve the voters well, and I think people should pay attention.
But I think their first question is, what's in it for me? Can I win or am I going to blow it in this? And that really shouldn't be the question. We had a forum last night for LD2 candidates down in Sahuarita. And these are people who think it's important to get in front of the voters and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do if I go to the state legislature. Now, they don't have any cachet. Neither of them have held – none of the three have held office. Maybe they don't have any choice or feel they don't. But the fact is that they were there. They're talking directly to the people. That's what they needed to do.
And I have to say that over the course of my time on the editorial board, I've seen candidates come and come back. And frankly, the quality of candidates, and this is just a general statement, in terms of being prepared, in terms of knowing your issues, knowing your district, having a basic grasp of what the role you're trying to get does and can and can't do, has been a little better so far this year, but it has just been stunning. I don't know why people who want to go to represent other people don't seem to be putting in the
time. Doing their homework.
Right. Yeah. And it's not acceptable. And we deserve more and we need to demand more.
A hospital is coming to Green Valley, a big story this week in Green Valley. It's a big story actually for our region. It was a front page piece in the Arizona Daily Star and, of course, Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. You had this story as well. It doesn't really matter who broke the story. The important news is to the people of Green Valley, there's a hospital coming.
Right, and we do not have a hospital. A lot of people are surprised to learn that with all of the older people down there, but this is going to be a 32-bed hospital. It is about half financed is what we're hearing, so it is not a sure thing yet, but we sure hope that it's going to happen. We have lots of medical facilities in Green Valley and Sahuarita, but no hospital. We have two urgent cares, but for the most part, people just come up to Tucson. A few of them will actually go down to Nogales, but this is a big deal. It's going to be fairly far south, and people in Tubac and Tumacacori, they would have access to it, pretty easy access to it also. So a big deal for us. They want to put it open the doors in early 2014. We'll see what happens. We'll be following this. We sure hope it happens.
And you're saying how many beds?
32, but it could expand, and we're hearing that it could expand up to 75.
This is something been talked about for years, Sarah, a hospital there.
Yeah, and I live in the Sahuarita area, and it's – I mean, there's families with kids, and it's not – You don't just – you feel more secure with medical facilities close by, although Sahuarita folks, I don't know time-wise if it's closer to go up to Tucson or to go down to this hospital that's coming. But I think it's a welcome addition.
Well, and actually, Carondelet had some land in Sahuarita that was set aside for a hospital, and they decided that they're not going to move forward with that, which was demoralizing to a lot of people there. But they just felt that it was just not the time. So TMC has jumped in.
It's always been about the economy and the economics of making it happen, because this has been talked about, as you know, Sarah and Dan, for years, getting a hospital there.
Absolutely. And like I said, we're thrilled that there's the prospect here. It is an area that is only going to grow.
All right. We're going to wrap it up on the Reporters Roundtable. Sarah and Dan, thank you very much. We've got Weekend Watch coming up. Matt Russell with his Picks of the Week. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, our weekend watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and the Pinos Altos Fiesta. Pinos Altos, what a neat community, just a few miles north of Silver City. That's Saturday, October 6th, for the big fiesta in Pinos Altos. Stay at Spirit Canyon Lodge, or Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, Cottage of the Whispering Canyon. Just a few of the great accommodations in Silver City. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, Tucson's own culinary cruiser, wearing the same T-shirt he had on last Friday, which is in honor of all the, well, let's say it's got a huge beer mug on the front of the T-shirt with suds bubbling, just pouring over it. And it's about all these beer-oriented events. And I think one of your picks will be something to do with that. But you're going to start off today with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Absolutely. You know, bubbling suds, what a coincidence. That was my nickname in college, Bill. I don't know how you possibly can even find that information, but...
Hey, bubbly.
We are fast approaching the opening of yet another fall Tucson Symphony season here in Tucson, Bill, and we're all going to be in for a big surprise tonight if we dine at either Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails or Maynard's Market and Kitchen, of course, both in downtown Tucson. Now, I understand that this surprise is going to be revealed between 6:30 and 7:30 tonight, so we have to make our dinner plans now. Now, this intrigue alone, Bill, is enough for me to get down there for dinner, and the food and the cocktails at Downtown Kitchen and Maynard's are, of course, among the city's best. I wonder what they have up their sleeve.
I have no idea, but it doesn't take much to get you down to a fine eatery in the downtown area, and this just gets you a little more incentive. It's true that Matt Russell does not eat breakfast, certainly on Friday, just to kind of get himself lined up for the weekend and get those stomach muscles just yearning to be filled with some wonderful cuisine.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
What's going on with the Flamenco Festival?
Yes, indeed. For the fourth straight year, our good friends down at the Casa Vicente restaurant, 375 South Stone, they're going to be hosting a world-class Flamenco Festival at 8 o'clock p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights and 3 p.m. on Sunday. And this high-energy event is going to have Spanish dance and musical performances by well-known artists from really across the western U.S., a flamenco fashion show, some great Spanish wine tastings, and, of course, Bill, Tucson's finest Spanish cuisine. Now, when I go to Casa Vicente, I love their Spanish chorizo with olives, and the sautéed salmon with mango salsa is outstanding. And if I were a betting man, I'd bet that paella would have to be thrown in there somewhere.
Oh, I knew you were going to mention that. I knew that's one of it's always been one of your favorites, and anything that's
absolutely
got the paella on the menu, that is very tempting to the culinary cruiser. Now, to Oktoberfest, and that, of course, is synonymous with beer.
Here it goes, the beer again. Imagine that. We're going to be hovering around 100 degrees this weekend in Tucson, Bill, so I don't think there's never been a better time to head up the ski valley on Mount Lemmon for their annual Oktoberfest extravaganza. I understand the high temperatures are going to be around the mid-70s on the mountaintop. So when you combine cool temperatures and bratwursts and polka dancing, this is why the Russell family never misses this event. It gets started at noon on Saturday and Sunday, all the way up to 5 o'clock.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
You too, Bill.
Thanks. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Culligan, it simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, the best producer anyone could ever ask for. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great weekend. Want to remind you about the John C. Scott Show this afternoon. Then tomorrow morning, Phil Cedar has the Green Things Gardening Show, getting things going at 7 a.m. in the morning. Great lineup of local talk continues on KVOI tomorrow morning, Saturday, and continuing right on through the weekend. Then, of course, Monday morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a good one. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back with you Monday.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.